Welcome to this week's episode of CT Real Estate Radio. I am Chaz Cook of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, joined by Brian Skelly, the mortgage guru from William Ravis Real Estate. We're going to give him a little break to kick off the show, but eventually we are going to get into this rate conversation. But before we do that, Brian, how are you on this beautiful Saturday?
I'm doing great.
Doing great. Busy with the mortgages?
Somewhat. It was actually kind of a quiet week for pre-approvals. Not a ton of people applying this week. I don't know why that is. Rates did tick. I'm trying not to talk about rates. We're saving it for later.
If you really want to kick it. All right, let's get down to the down and dirty.
What I wonder is, you know, I wonder how much like the general consumer is actually paying attention to the rates. You know, I was talking about Byron about this earlier in the week, and I was telling him, I was like, I didn't get a lot of new applications this week, not a lot of new pre-approvals. I did have a lot of buyers making offers, which is another conversation, but they were mostly folks that had already been pre-approved and were folks I had were already out there shopping. But rates were up. So I wonder how much, people who listen to this show obviously know what's going on with rates because every Saturday we're talking about it. But, you know, it's interesting. I had one buyer that I locked in on a chaffer rate on Monday, and it was at 6.875. And that buyer was like, wow, why is it so high? And I was like, well, actually, the average rate's quite a bit higher than that right now. You're getting a really good discounted rate
because of the chaffer program.
Because of the chaffer program. But the buyer's perception was that that was a high rate, which made me think that that particular buyer wasn't really paying super close attention to what was going on in the market, because if they had been, they would have known that was a really good rate at the time. And then I have other buyers where maybe sometimes the rate is getting closer to mid sevens now. And some folks are just like, oh yeah, you know, that's what we expected. We saw the rates went up. But I don't know. I'd be curious to know why, you know, what do people really pay that close attention to it?
So let me ask you that question, because obviously, you know, mainstream media talks about what mainstream media talks about, and their big focus has been on, you know, all these allegations and lawsuits and all that nonsense. So we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. But, you know, where would you say a consumer should be getting, if they're in the market for a house, and let's say their time frame is 4 to 6 months out, right? I would say that it's partially up to the agent to be educating them on like what's going on. Hey, don't know if you guys saw it in the news, but rates jumped from 6.4 to 6.8 this week. Maybe good time to check in with Brian Skelly and like make sure the buying power is still in alignment. Or do you think there's somewhere else that, I mean, you know, I guess who is ultimately responsible for that? I would put it back on us as the agents to be able to continue educating our clients.
I would agree with that. I would say, you know, if you're looking to buy a house in 4 to 6 months, meaning like you're not planning to buy a house in the next 30 days. I mean, it's very difficult to predict what rates are going to do next week, let alone 3 or 4 months from now. We've been talking about that on the show a lot lately. There was a lot of big, important organizations that have very impressive economists working for them that predicted rates were going to go down a lot this year. And a lot of them are changing their tune and saying, well, maybe not. I would say, you know, when you get pre-approved for a mortgage, you know, talk to the lender that's doing your pre-approval and, you know, get a recommendation for a good local mortgage lender. Mm-hmm. A real estate agent is a great person to ask for a mortgage lender recommendation, because they know who is local in the area that's been in the business for a while, that has a good reputation, that has a knowledge of the programs and the guidelines. And so you get connected with somebody like that. You know, when you get the pre-approval, you're going to get a monthly, you know, ask the lender, hey, what do you think my monthly payment would be on this price? What do you think it would be on this price? And then just know that that monthly payment might go up or down by $100, $150, $200, even depending on how much rates go up or down in the next 4 to 6 months.
At what point would you say, like, what's a large enough swing in the rates that then you should have that conversation to make sure that the buying power that you thought you had is stayed? Because I'm not going to worry about plus or minus $100, right? That could be 6.4 versus 6.44.
Yeah.
Right? We're kind of splitting hairs at that point. But at what spread would it then be important for a buyer to go and speak to their lender? Is it from 6.4 to, you know, is it a 10-point spread, a 20-point spread?
I think it's different for each individual and how payment sensitive you are. Mm-hmm. If you're very sensitive about the monthly payment and going from, you know, $2,500 to $2,600 is going to impact whether or not you buy the house, then if that's how you feel about it, you need to be more sensitive to what's going on with the rates. You know, we talk about Mortgages Daily on a pretty regular basis. They do a pretty good job of serving a bunch of lenders and posting the average rates every day. So, you know, that's a resource that we use. I mean, I don't know if you necessarily need to call your mortgage person every week and right. ask them what the rate is. But, you know, you just, I think when you start to zero in on a house, you know, you maybe check in with your mortgage lender, get an updated payment. A lot of folks, you know, don't realize how much the taxes has to do on the house either.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's a huge factor.
You know, that's the thing that catches a lot of people by surprise is one, sometimes rates go up and people didn't realize it, but also people aren't paying attention to taxes and all of a sudden the payment's $200 more because the taxes are high on that particular house.
Right. The first house they went on, the taxes were $5,000. Now the next one, the taxes, same price house, but a different town and the taxes are $7,000, right?
Exactly. So I think if you can get an idea where the payment is at the time you do the pre-approval, and if you feel like you're at the point where, like, if you get a monthly payment on a $400,000 house and you're like, whoa, that's my max, I can't go any higher, you know, then look at, you know, 370 houses, look at 380 houses, so that if the rates do go up a little bit, which they might, then your payment's still in, you know, comfortable range for you. You know, if you're shopping right at the very tippity top of your price range and then the rates go up a little bit, you don't have any wiggle room. So give yourself a little wiggle room, I guess, is the moral of the story I'm trying to say here.
All right. So always be prepared. Give yourself a little bit of wiggle room. And so what's your thoughts on, I mean, we're through the first quarter. They said potentially 6 rate cuts this year. They've now changed that to 3 rate cuts and they've pushed it to the second half of the year. And you mentioned before the show, right? We've had 3 bad months of inflation reports, right? And I think that it's only going to continue to get worse because we're going into the time of year where people travel. It's the summer, June, July, and August. So I think inflation is going to continue to go up at least until the fall. But quick, before we run to break here, do you think that we're going to see any rate cuts? Just an opinion. I'm just curious your opinion here. Near fourth quarter and the third quarter, or do you think we're going to kind of just be back and forth here and holding steady through the rest of 2024?
No, I definitely think rate cuts are still a possibility. You know, the Fed did say they expected the road to lower inflation to be bumpy. You know, it's not going to be all sunshine and rainbows every month when these inflation reports come out. So, I mean, to that, you know, it could easily happen. We get a couple good months of inflation going the right direction. And we'll talk after the break a little bit more about what might impact that.
Well, so that's Brian Skelly's opinion. But yeah, when we come back, we're also going to tell you what Jerome Powell has an opinion on for rates and cuts when we come back on CT Real Estate Radio and 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Welcome back to Real Estate Radio and 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. I am Chaz Cook of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, joined today by Brian Skelly, the mortgage guru from William Ravis Mortgage. And in the first segment, we tried not to talk about rates, but inevitably I just asked Brian how his week was. And next thing you know, we went down the rabbit hole of it. But before we go back down that rabbit hole, here we sit on the final day of the best week of the year to list your house. That was a report that we covered about a month ago. They said April 14th through the 20th was the best week of the year to list your house. What do you think about that?
Made me feel better about my week because I had kind of a rough week. I had a whole bunch of buyers make offers on houses and they didn't get the house more than usual. So if this was the best week of the year to list your house, I guess that just meant the buyers had a lot of competition this week, especially in Connecticut where the inventory is low.
Inventory is low. I mean, we did see that we went from 2 months to 2.1 months, you know, so not a huge jump in inventory for single family homes, but we did see a little bit of an uptick. But yeah, we are sitting here and I mean, I just did a quick look. I'm going to do the 7-day look back here, right? For how many new listings came on the market. Where is my time frame there? All right. So we are looking at about 3,500 new listings for single family homes and condos in the state of Connecticut that came on in the last 7 days. So that's a pretty big number compared to what we've been seeing in the past weeks.
Yeah, I think I had 12 buyers make offers this week and 2 of them got the offer accepted. 10 got outbid. Yeah.
And we're just in the beginning of the spring market. I mean, like, The what I've noticed is whatever they deem the best week of the year to list
the highest mortgage rate since November this week.
Since November.
So yeah. first time the average 30-year fix hit 7.5 since November 13th. And I've got 10 people getting outbid on houses, multiple people bidding over asking price. It's spring market is hot in Connecticut.
And I think it kicks off this week. I think that's why it's the best week of the year to list your house. Right. We've been ramping up. We talk about the Monday after the Super Bowl. It kind of begins the buildup. But then, yeah, April 14th through the 20th, that's when the floodgates open. And yeah,
the weather's going to be flat out. People got the mulch in the gardens. They're ready to list these houses for sale.
They're starting to get that itch to open up their pools. Yes. Right. So if they're going to open up those pools, they definitely need to reach out to the Irish Springs Pool Water truck over there. Martin McKinney and the boys and girls at Irish Springs Pool Water, and also at Service Station Equipment, your number one residential tanking specialist. Dougie Braun, the tank man, knows everything there is to know about tanks. I'm surprised he hasn't just designed his own yet and said, you know what? I've been doing this for so long. I might as well just make my own line of the Tank Man tank. That's pretty catchy. I mean, his license plate says the Tank Man.
Trademark that.
Right? Like
Bang Zoom.
Bang Zoom. Bang Zoom. So yeah, if you're thinking about getting that pool open here in the next couple of weeks, definitely reach out to the Irish Springs Pool Water. Or if you have any oil tanking issues, if it started to leak on you this winter and you just wanted to ride it out until the weather got nice, you can reach out to Service Station Equipment at 1-800-801-TANK. And Dougie Braun will come and take care of you. All right. So we talk about this guy quite a bit here. And, you know, we talk about podcasts and people we can interview, man. If there was ever somebody we could get on the hot seat, it'd be the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, because he has an unfriendly message for markets. You might not be getting any rate cuts this year. This was an article that came out 2 days ago. And, you know, I was shocked to see it, just to hear that initial reaction, because all they've done since December is talk about how many rate cuts we were going to have this year. And now all of a sudden we're just barely through the first quarter and he's ready to go and say, yeah, don't hold your breath on that.
Yeah. It's all, I mean, they do, they always say, he always has a little asterisk on his comments and he's going to say, we're going to wait and see what the data says.
The data. Yeah.
And, yeah. That's what happened, you know, so from October to December, we had 3 good months of inflation. Rates went down. Everybody got excited about the rate cuts. And then from January to March, we had 3 bad months of inflation news, just inflation being stubborn. And so the tune has changed. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
You know, I like what you just said there. You said the word data, because I say data. And the other day, my wife, Jill, because she was watching a clip of the show from last week, and she was like, it's data. And
data?
I was like, no, it's data. And so like, I wanted to like...
Clearly not a Star Trek fan.
Right? That's what I said. I was like, I wanted to post, is it pronounced? And I was going to put a picture of data, or I was going to put like the word data, right? You know, and like start a little debate. So I appreciate that you also say the word data.
Yes.
Cooper, behind the scenes, are you a data or a data guy? A data. All right. So Jill, if you're listening out there on this beautiful Saturday, you're probably not, and I'm going to tell you about it later and make you listen. It is data. But anyways, back on track here. I just needed to confirm that I wasn't the only data guy out there, right? Monthly housing payments reach an all-time high, climbing 11% year over year. And so this just ties back into interest rates creeping back up into that 7.5 mark. But then again, to your point, property taxes playing a huge impact on monthly housing.
And insurance too, and taxes going up, insurance going up.
I know you mentioned it. It's like 30% homeowners insurance has gone up in the last 18 months.
Well, yeah, we had an article on it. I remember it was new policies, renewals, but it was
renewals. I remember the big jump was on renewals.
It was like 30% increase. Insurance hadn't changed. I mean, I've been using, because when I do a pre-approval, I have to put a number in there for insurance. And I was using like the same number for like a decade. And then all of a sudden,
$1,200, something
like
that.
Yeah, I was frequently put in. I used to put in $100 a month, you know, for a $300,000 or $400,000. And then all of a sudden I was having these pre-approvals and they'd come back and they'd be like, we can't get insurance for $1,200. I'm like, you can't? And then all of a sudden it was $1,800 and then it was $2,400. And so, so now I started using, like when I'm doing the pre-approvals, I bumped it up. From now I'm using like 175, wow. $200 even on a little higher price home. So insurance costs more, taxes have gone up, and rates are getting close to the high point that they were back in October. But home prices really, I mean, it depends what part of the country you're in.
Correct.
But in
we're gonna talk about that a little later, yeah.
In Connecticut, I mean, home prices have not been going down. So you're having this combination of rates being higher than they were in December and January, and prices continuing to go up. Yeah, the report from Redfin said the median monthly housing payment climbed 11% year over year compared to last year to an all-time high median housing payment, $2,747 a month.
Right, and that's across the U.S., but I mean, a $274 jump. I got to be honest, a lot of people probably don't see that much in a raise sometimes, an 11% increase in their pay, right? You know, if you're getting paid every 2 weeks, you're a W-2 employee, and all of a sudden your boss is like, I'm going to give you an 11% raise. You're going to be like, okay, right? But maybe instead you're getting a 2% raise, and then it's, oh, by the way, my housing payment just went up 11%. So you're really, there's a big discrepancy there. Yeah, because the report goes on to highlight market data for the 4 weeks ending April 7th, 2024. Housing payments are rising because home prices and mortgage rates are both high. And Wednesday's hotter than expected inflation report hasn't helped. So always coming back to that inflation report. Wednesday's report shows 0.4% month over month increase in core inflation and a 3.8% increase year over year. So we're still under three. We're at like 2.5, 2.6 for inflation.
I think it was 3.1 last month, if I remember correctly. Wow. On the CPI. I think it was 3.1.
So, all right, we're up 3.8% increase year over year, which is the same as the previous month, but higher than expected, 0.3%, 3.7% year over year. Given those numbers, along with the latest jobs report showing a stronger than expected economy, the Fed is unlikely to initiate cuts to the federal funds rate at the next FOMC meeting April 30th. More than likely, they'll hold off until July or even September. Wow. Anticipating the Fed's caution, the 10-year Treasury yield shot up to around 4.5%, and the daily average mortgage rate soared to their highest level in nearly 5 months, gaining more than a quarter percentage point in 1 day. Right? And you mentioned that was the biggest jump in 10 years in a single day?
I don't remember if it was 10 years. It was in a while. Yeah, it was a big day. And, you know, that's what happens sometimes, you know, and you just don't, nobody... No, you know, we predicted it. It wasn't like the day before everybody was saying, oh, rates are going to go up 0.25% tomorrow. That was unexpected. And that's the way it always goes. Like if things happen the way that people expect them to happen, rates don't change. It's when the news comes out and something unexpected happens, then that makes markets move. So
here's some perspective for you. So in 2021, the median price for a monthly mortgage payment was about $1,625 in April. So I'm just going to go year by year, same time frame. Okay. So about $1,625 in April 2021. In April 2022, they were about $2,200. So that was when the market really took off.
That was when rates started going up.
Yeah. In 2023, same time frame, $2,450 a month. Now, as we sit here, as of April 7th, $2,747 at 6.82%. So, we've seen an increase. The biggest jump, though, did come from 2021 when we were at like $1,600. And then in 2022, it skyrocketed up to like $2,200. But that's from 21 into 22.
Well, in 21, the rates were like 3%.
Exactly.
And then 2022 was like in the middle of the year is when the rates started going up. And I remember it hit like 4 and 5. Everybody thought that was a lot.
So another big factor for the monthly payments, the median home sales price rose 4.5% year over year to $378,250. We know here in the state of Connecticut that it's just over $400,000 now, but that is just about $5,000 under the record high reached in June 2022. So the record high for median sales price, single family homes in the U.S., was in 2022, and it was about $383,250. The article goes on to say, home prices are remaining stubbornly high because buyer demand is still high enough to keep them from falling. And while housing supply is picking up with a 14% annual increase in new listings, inventory remains lower than typical spring levels, meaning buyers cannot count on competition for available homes. Well, this comes back to what we talk about all the time, the lock-in effect. Yep. We had 2 months where all people talked about was lock-in effect is finally coming to an end. People are just more comfortable with the rates. They've accepted that 6%, 6.25% is just where they're going to be. And now that we're back at 7.5%, again, anyone who's under 5 doesn't want a pallet 7.5. But if you're at 4.5, you could say 6 is tolerable.
And pent up buyer demand. I mean, if you had a couple new kids or you got a new job and you need a new place to live, you just you can only put off for so long buying a new home, and the demand's there. I mean, people are getting outbid and making these strong offers in Connecticut, even though it's the highest mortgage payments of all time.
It is.
They're still out there bidding, and so, you know.
And somebody's winning, so.
Somebody's winning.
I'll give you guys a quick one before we run to the break here. So median sales price for houses, April 2021, you were about $322,000. April 2022, you were at $370,000. Yep. 2023, we dropped back down to about $360,000. And here in 2024, we're at $375,000. And that's also going to do it for us on this break. When we come, we'll be right back on CT Real Estate Radio on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Welcome back to CT Real Estate Radio on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. I am Chaz Cook of the One Team at William Mavis Real Estate, your number one team from 2021 all the way through the first quarter of 2024 for transactions closed. That means we have helped more families buy, sell, and invest in real estate than anyone else in the great Nutmeg State. And I'm joined by Brian Skelly, the mortgage guru, who has helped a vast number of those families with their mortgage needs and securing a home in this competitive market. And we are here this week to bring you the One Team Weekly Rewind. We had 6 new listings, 10 under contracts, and 8 closings. So I know you said you submitted 12 offers and only won 2. So hopefully those 2 came from us. But
they did.
All right, there you go. So you're part of our 10.
There you
go. We're keeping it in the
family.
They
were both from the same agent too. He had a good week.
Oh, look at that. All right. Our first new listing is 4 Mahoney Road in Colchester, Connecticut. Hit the market for $575,000. You've got 4 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, 3,225 square feet. This house is like brand new, built in 2020. So gorgeous home. Got just under 2 acres, and it's nestled in a desirable neighborhood. It's an elegant 4-bedroom, 2.5 bath colonial with spacious living and modern amenities. You step inside to discover a sunlit interior with an open floor plan and 9-foot ceilings on the first floor, creating an inviting atmosphere for both relaxation and entertainment. And we're going to be talking about this one a little bit later in the open houses, but if you would like a private showing of 4 Mahoney Road in Colchester, Connecticut, on the market for $575,000, you can reach out to Tina at oneteamct.com. Next up, we've got 897 Shuttle Road in Southington, Connecticut. I wish I lived on Shuttle Road. Like, this is kind of a Shuttle Meadow Road.
Shuttle Meadow.
Right? You kind of want to dig the name. What? 897 Shuttle Meadow Road. Where do you live? Shuttle Meadow Road. Hit the market for $435,000. 4 bedrooms, 1 bath, just under 1,600 square feet. Built in 1948. This looks like something out of like a Lifetime movie here. I mean, it's got like the red siding, the classic chimney, big blooming tree in the yard. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. You got 3/4 of an acre here. It's a spacious cape nestled in the serene ambience of Southington. It's boasting a generous floor plan, perfect for modern living. As you step inside, you're greeted by another welcoming living room, ideal for cozy gatherings or relaxing evenings. The main floor features a gourmet kitchen designed to inspire your culinary ventures with its ample counter space and modern appliances. Also going to be talking about this one in the open houses, but if you would like a private showing of 897 Shuttle Meadow Road, you can reach out to Alex at oneteamct.com to schedule that one. All right, next up, we've got a fun one here. We've got 91 Mungertown Road in Madison, Connecticut. Hit the market for $630,000. 4 bedrooms, 3 baths, just under 2,200 square feet. Built in 2006 with a half-acre lot. Absolutely gorgeous home. It is.
Whose listing is that,
this
Chaz?
Is my listing. So if you want to reach out to it, you can reach out to me, Chaz, at oneteamct.com.
I got to interrupt you here. Okay. So I woke up Friday morning and I opened up my Instagram and there's Chaz with a very clever video playing the Funky Town.
On Mungertown. Playing the Funky Town.
I don't know who edited the video, but I didn't realize there were so many lyrics in there about moving and everything. Yeah. It was very well done. What's your Instagram handle? How do our listeners watch this video?
Realtor_coach_runner. So Realtor Coach Runner, or you can just type in my name and it'll pop up there. But yes, no, thank you, Brian. It was a
great video. Check it out.
It was a great idea that I came up with, and I wasn't sure if it was going to come to fruition. So thank you to our videographer, Curry, for bringing my vision to life.
A good looking house, too.
Great looking house. I tell you, these guys, they bought it in 2019. They've just done so much to it. They put in a front porch. They installed central air. They expanded the kitchen. They turned a half bath into a full bath. They re-landscaped the front and backyard. They put in an outdoor patio with full outdoor kitchen. So, I mean, 4 bedrooms, 3 baths in Madison for $630,000. And, oh, by the way, I learned this. This is a little Madison fact for you guys if anybody's looking in Madison. They're building a new K-5 school. It's walking distance from 91 Mungertown Road. That new school that they're building, they're also going to make a connecting path parking lot that connects up into the middle school and high school.
Oh, really?
So if you are looking to raise a family in Madison, 91 Mungertown Road would be walking distance from literally kindergarten through senior year.
That's amazing.
You would be within a half a mile from all the schools in Madison. So, and there is an open house that's going on right now during the show. Obviously, I am not there, but we will talk about that one again in a little bit. But if you would like a private showing of 91 Mungertown Road in Madison, Connecticut, yeah, reach out to me at chaz@oneteamct.com. I would love to show it to you. It's definitely got a lot of love from the family that is there now, and happy to share it. Next up, we've got 112 Hart Road in Guilford, Connecticut. Hit the market for $389,900. 4 bedrooms, 2 baths. Just under 2,500 square feet. Built in 1975. I mean, this is a 1975 raised ranch if I've ever seen one right here. It's even doesn't even have the traditional roof. It's kind of comes up and goes to a peak. You got the bump out for the windows on one side. Beautiful yard, 1.71 acres. With carpet and paint as your tools, you have the opportunity to infuse this home with your unique style and personality. So it does need some TLC, but that, I mean, at $389,900, less than the median sales price for a single family home, you can come in here and with some sweat equity, you can make this place your own and you can build a lot of value into the home just by doing that. So this gracious, the gracious size of this 4-bedroom, 2-bath raised ranch entices you to explore every corner, offering a canvas upon which to paint the picture of your dream home. If you would like to check out 112 Hart Road in Guilford, Connecticut, you can reach out to Nicole@oneteamct.com. Again, that is on for $389,900. Under $400,000 in Guilford. Livable. Don't wait on this one. It will not last. I promise you that. All right. And our final new listing of the week is 19 Bragaw Street in New London, Connecticut. Hit the market for $269,900. 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, just under 1,500 square feet. Built in 1878, but completely remodeled. You've got just over a tenth of an acre. This 3-bedroom, 2-bath home is close to shopping, the Coast Guard Academy, and an easy drive to the Navy base. Brand new roof in April 2024. And the only reason that they're selling after they put all this love and sweat equity into the house is they've outgrown it. So it is definitely there for the taking. You know, all you need is a backpack and a toothbrush for this one. Again, that is 19 Bragaw Street in New London, Connecticut, on the market for $269,900. And if you would like a private showing of that, you can reach out to Tina@oneteamct.com. All righty, here we go. Under contracts, 10 of those bad boys. We had under contracts in Hamden, West Haven, Newington, Guilford, Brantford, Wallingford, Waterbury, Bridgeport, and Guilford. Closings. Congratulations to all of our buyers, sellers, and investors. We had closings in Eastline, Waterford, New London, Clinton, West Haven, Canterbury, Guilford, and North Brantford. All right. Open houses, man. We are jamming this weekend for open houses. Going on today, Saturday, April 20th, 4 Mahoney Road in Colchester, Connecticut. Started at 10 a.m. and is going until 2 p.m. So you got a nice 4-hour block there to head over and see Tina at 4 Mahoney Road in Colchester, Connecticut. 91 Mungertown Road, that colonial I just mentioned, is the open house kicked off at 11 and is going on until 1 p.m. today. You can head over there and see Jessica. And you can also go up to 26 Old Wallingford Road in Durham, Connecticut from 11 to 1 today. So still some time to get up there. I wonder if they have any leftover pizza. They did a broker's open at that one on Thursday and had Pepe's come. Oh, Pepe's truck and bring some pizza. So
they have a truck. I don't know.
You might have, if you're into that, you might have some leftover cold pizza at 26 Old Wallingford Road and say hi to Alan and Emily over there. All right. Last one for today. 897 Shuttle Meadow Road in Southington, Connecticut kicks off at 1 p.m. and goes until 3:30 p.m. So you got some time to head up that way or plan your day. And then going on tomorrow, Sunday, April the 21st, another opportunity to head to 91 Mungertown Road in Madison, Connecticut from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Another opportunity to go to 26 Old Wallingford Road in Durham, Connecticut from 11 to 1 p.m. I don't know if I'd go for the 3-day-old pizza, so get up there today and get the 2-day-old. You're better off. And 897 Shuttle Meadow Road in Southington, Connecticut, also going on Sunday, April 21st from 11 to 2. And of course, the residences at 66 High Street, the award-winning condominiums, the final building I think they put two units under contract this week, or one last week, one this week. So there are not very many left, but you can head over and say hi to Nicole at 66 High Street on Sunday, April the 21st from 12 to 2 p.m. And that's going to do it for us on this week's One Team Weekly Rewind. Whew. Man, I love doing the rewind. It takes like a lot of energy, and you know, there's a lot to go through and not flubble all over my words, but I also just love to see how hard the team is working. I mean, 6 listings, 10 under contract, 8 closings. What do we have? Like 9 open houses going on in the next 2 days today, between today and tomorrow.
Spring is in the air here.
Spring is in the air. The team is putting in the work. They are helping their buyers, sellers, and investors, and helping them secure deals and keeping them educated too. Like that was what we were talking about with rates a little bit. And I also really like to see that we're all over the place. We're not just in Guilford, we're not just in Madison. We're in Wallingford and Southington and Durham and everywhere in between. And very exciting times here for the One Team. And we will be right back on CT Real Estate Radio on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. We are back on CT Real Estate Radio. I am Chaz Cook of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, joined by Brian Skelly, Mortgage Guru. And we are talking all things interest rates, inventory, monthly payments, One Team Weekly Rewind, Irish Springs pool water coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And of course, Service Station Equipment, your residential tanking specialist. You can reach out to them at 1-800-801-TANK for all of your tanking needs. But there's something we haven't mentioned that's coming up on Monday, and I don't even know if it's on people's radar. It wasn't on my radar until somebody mentioned it to me. Do you know what's coming up on Monday?
Only because you told me 20 minutes
ago. Only because I told you. Come on. What is coming up on Monday, Skelly?
Earth Day.
Let me ask you, you've got 2 kiddos. Are they at the age yet? Or do they still bring home the trees on Earth Day?
I don't know if they do.
That was like my favorite part about it. It was like, I mean,
I remember that. Yeah.
I never lived in one of those houses long enough to see if the tree ever became anything. But, yeah. My wife, her brother actually brought one home. I think he was like 7, 8 years old. Their parents still live in that house. And now the tree is like 10, 12 feet tall. So they've actually got to like see it grow. Yeah.
It was usually like an evergreen, like a white pine or something like that. Yeah.
But why were they so hard? Like, nobody I know, like, I don't think ever like had one grow into become a mature tree.
Well, you know,
come on, Skelly's garden. Like,
4th graders are not really skilled horticulturists.
That's why they give us evergreens, though, right? Just put it in the ground.
Well, when you're planting a new tree, you should dig a hole that's at least twice as wide as the root system of what you're planting. Cause the roots, they need a lot of air to grow.
Okay.
So I think when I was a kid, they gave it to me like in a paper cup.
Right.
And I would just dig a hole that was just about the size of the paper cup and then stick it in there. And so the trees don't really like that. You dig a nice big hole, you fluff it up, maybe put a little
compost in there.
So
instead of like the little paper
cup,
you go maybe with like a solo cup size? Red solo cup.
dig a big hole is what I'm saying here. Dig a big hole. Put a little compost in there. Don't just put regular dirt back in. You mix in some compost that creates a little bit more air, a little bit more moisture retention. You got to water it would be a good idea every once in a while.
Not in this climate we've been here in April, but maybe
in July and August, give it a little water.
We went from June of 23 to December of 23, and I think we got like 60 inches of rain. There was some staggering amount. Like, I'm not watering anything right now. And then even look at this spring we've had. It's like rain. Oh, guess what's coming? Again, probably Monday, rain, right?
Well, the other thing you got to do is protect it from the lawnmower too.
Right.
So I think, you know, if you know, your dad comes along and just mows the thing over because he doesn't realize it's there.
It looks like a weed just sticking
out. I think
that
happened to me a couple times. So you got to put like a little cage around it. Mulch would be a great idea. Yeah. The reason that you put mulch on a new shrub or tree is that helps maintain the moisture.
It holds it in, right?
It holds it in, yeah.
So. That I did know. See, I don't have that much of a green thumb, but that part I did know. And speaking of, I saw some things happening out in the greenhouse here at the One Team office. Is that you're doing as well?
I did plant some stuff in the greenhouse last year. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it again this year.
It looked like there were some new tags out there, some vegetables.
Oh, really? Yeah. Those are not mine. Somebody stuck them out there.
All right. We got to find out who's got the green thumb here at the
office. We'll find out.
But anyways, with Earth Day being on Monday, we decided to bring you the 9 best places to celebrate Earth Day in Connecticut. And most of them are going on this weekend, of course, because that's when people are out and about. Number one here. This is like crazy that this is number one on the list, because I was just listening to yesterday. I was listening to Chaz and AJ in the morning, and no relation. And they were talking to somebody from the ALP Body Museum. It's now free to go to.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, they've completely redone the entire place. And like a lot of their like dinosaur exhibits, they sent out to Canada to get redone and to become more anatomically correct. Because he was saying, we used to have the Brontosaurus at 65 feet, but then we realized their tails were much larger. And so we sent this one out to be like updated. And now it's 75 feet.
It's pretty easy to get to, too. I just drove by it the other day. It's right off, I think, exit 3 on 91.
Yep.
And you just go a couple blocks and it's right there.
Yeah, so the Yale Peabody Museum is a wonderful place to learn about nature and cultures any day. But to celebrate Earth Day, they are hosting a one-day nature event. The Earth Day event at Yale Peabody will show beetle, bird, and botanical specimens that are rarely exhibited. So if you want to sneak
peek. Maybe I'll go take the kids to that. What day is that?
That is just going on this weekend. They did not specify if it was today or tomorrow. But yeah, definitely check out the Yale Peabody Museum. Next up, we've got Woodbury Earth Day in Woodbury, Connecticut. Woodbury has been hosting an Earth Day celebration for over 2 decades. This free celebration runs all day and is held at Hollow Park. At the celebration, visitors can expect live music, vendors, and activities. I think they just wanted to see Woodbury Earth Day in Woodbury, Connecticut. Woodbury has put in, like, how many Woodburys can I say in 3 sentences? I think I got 5. All right. Let's see if Torrington can top it. Torrington Earth Day celebration in Torrington, Connecticut. Celebrate Earth Day and clean up the local environment in Torrington. This annual Earth Day event focuses on cleaning up Torrington and finishes with a picnic in the park. I like that. What do they call that? Plogging, right? Where you just like walk around or you go for a hike and you carry a trash bag, you clean everything up.
Yeah, that's. I think that's a great way to celebrate Earth Day, more so than sticking a tree somewhere that's just...
that make it run over by your dad.
Make it run over by your dad. If you stick it in the wrong place, then your dad's got to pay to cut it down, you know, because it's in the way. So.
And I'm a big fan of a picnic in the park, too. So.
Yeah, that sounds like great. That sounds like a great day.
Coming up at number 4, we've got Rock to Rock Earth Day Ride, New Haven, Connecticut. Rock to Rock, probably East Rock to West Rock, I'm going to assume, but we're going to find out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Rock to Rock is holding an Earth Day Ride meant to reduce car emissions by encouraging biking with an Earth Day Ride. Explore New Haven by bike with a ride from West Rock to East Rock. I think that's another brilliant idea, too. Ride over to one, hike up to the top, look over the views, come back down, ride back. All right, let's see if I can get this one. Number 5, Flamig Farm in West Simsbury, F-L-A-M-I-G Farm, West Simsbury, Connecticut. Flamig Farm's Earth Day celebration includes a petting zoo, tractor rides, live music, and vendors. Admission is not expensive and includes a free cup of grain to feed the animals. The focus of the event is to educate the public about green energy and food production. That's another cool idea, petting zoo, and they give you the cup of grains. Usually, you got to buy one of those for each animal you go see.
Yeah, they got the thing where you put the quarter in, you turn the gumball machine to get the food.
Yep. Coming in at 6, we got the Discovery Museum in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Enjoy hands-on Earth Day and nature activities on Earth Day at the Discovery Museum. There will also be a special schedule for the planetarium on Earth Day, and local scientists will visit the museum. All right, that sounds kind of cool.
I've never been to the Discovery Museum.
Right down in Bridgeport, so from here we're around Guilford, maybe about 35 minutes, depending on traffic.
Yeah.
7, Energize Connecticut Center's Earth Day event in North Haven, Connecticut. Enjoy hands-on science learning for children with this Earth Day event sponsored by Energize Connecticut and the Animal Embassy. Participating children and adults will have the opportunity to touch and hold animals, including skinks, chinchillas, and more. What's a skink?
No idea.
Nobody? Google? we'll get back to you.
Where's the location on that? Is that at the fairgrounds?
That's in North Haven, and it's a lizard. It does not specify where they're holding it, but if you Googleize Energize Connecticut Center's Earth Day, maybe it's the Energize Connecticut Center? I'm not sure. 8, no surprise here. If this one didn't make the list, I'd be a little concerned. Mystic Aquarium in Mystic, Connecticut. Celebrate Earth Day and its wonderful creatures at Mystic Aquarium's Earth Day celebration. The aquarium will host scavenger hunts and teach visitors how to reduce impact on the environment.
I'm looking at the picture of the skink right now, and I suddenly have a sudden urge to save 15% or more on my car insurance. I don't know.
That's a skink. I thought he was a gecko.
It looks very similar to a gecko.
All right. So a gecko and a skink are cousins. All right. And at 9, UConn at Avery Point in Groton, Connecticut. Avery Point's Earth Day celebration will host student-led clubs with hands-on activities. The event at Avery Point is sure to be tons of fun for the whole family. Nothing quite gives you that good feeling inside than helping out the environment. All right. So there you go. There are the 9 best places to celebrate Earth Day in Connecticut. Some going on this weekend, some going on Monday on the actual Earth Day. And I should have looked into like, why is it even called like Earth Day? Like, what about April 22nd is important, to be classified as Earth Day? Or is that just when spring? Yeah. I don't know, but exciting time. So if you're out with the family and you're looking for something to do, swing by one of our open houses. We got like 5 going on today, 4 tomorrow, and then swing by one of the 9 best places in Connecticut to celebrate Earth Day. Man, that's a lot. That's a lot going on, lots of stuff going on. And you know what else is going on is that home sellers, their expectations, they've sobered up a bit this spring. And I can attest to that because I've signed a couple of listings. I just have that one that came on in Madison and a couple more coming in a few weeks. But the conversation with my clients around pricing has been much more comfortable. No one is thinking that their house, you know, maybe they bought it for $200, it's worth $600. They're much more dialed in. So like I've given a range and they've all often been right within that range, or you know, maybe the top of my range was right where they wanted to be. So we're in alignment on that. And I'm providing them the information based off the MLS, the data that we can come up with. And then they're also going off of what they're seeing in the market, their neighbors' houses, you know, they're following trends on Zillow and realestate.com. But then they're also just looking at, you know, how their house looks compared to some of the other houses they're seeing selling. So I do believe that that is true, that they've kind of woken up a little bit. I don't know if I sobered up is a tough word, but they've become more aware to what the market will dictate, especially with interest rates being at 7.5. Now, probably a totally different conversation if interest rates are at 6, you know, that sobering feeling that they're having of, I can't maybe get $100,000 more than I think I can from my house may still be there, because that's going to unleash the masses if we get back down to 6. So at 7.5, they're kind of having to be more realistic. But yeah, they go on to talk about, because we have officially entered, or in this case, ending the best week to list your home. But this time around, home sellers are not anticipating as much of a seller's market compared to the years past. Well, I don't know about that. You know, that's subjective, because as Brian mentioned, he's, well, 2 for 10, maybe coming up on, he might have gotten a text.
I actually just
the
got
break.
A contract during the break. There so we go. We've got
so
three
he's,
now.
He's 3 out of 10. So but 30%.
I think last year was very difficult. I mean, there was a lot of, I'm just kind of going for my gut feeling, but not so much the data, but it feels that way to me, a little bit less of a seller's market. Still very competitive. I mean, you're not getting the bargains that
you're definitely not getting the bargains,
there.
But yeah. They go on to say today's sellers expect fewer bidding wars and few offers over asking, as well as fewer buyers willing to waive contingencies like home inspections and appraisals. That part I do agree with, right? I think you're still seeing 5, 6, 7 offers on a well-marketed, well-priced property. But yes, buyers now are like, you know what? We still need to maintain some of our you know, negotiating power here. We need to do a home inspection. We need to check the well. We need to check the septic.
Well, I mean, that sounds kind of healthy, what you're describing. I mean, if buyers and sellers have reasonable expectations that are not too far apart, that's where you can put a transaction together. It's when the sellers are expecting one thing that's drastically different than what the buyers are putting together, it's a lot harder to get them to kind of meet in the middle. So,
because in 2021, 2022, there wasn't negotiating. It was throw everything you can at them and hope that you can beat out everybody else. Now, we're actually back to having healthy conversations and, to your point, putting deals together, which is a good thing because we do need to see transactions go up. All right. Any final words, Brian?
Schedule a call at schedulealoanappointment.com.
Schedulealoanappointment.com. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Martin and the boys and girls at Service Station Equipment. We will be back next week with a fresh new episode of CT Real Estate Radio and 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.